The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 6. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly.
And today we are going to talk first about Mother Courage and Her Children at Theatre Lab's Basement through November 12th. Mother Courage traverses Europe during the 30 Years' War, selling her goods and trying to look after her children. This episodic drama presents scenes from the sidelines of war as cynical political commentary. Claire, what did you think?
I really liked it.
You don't have to sound apologetic about it.
I know that I'm the outcast at this table right now, but I really did like it a lot.
What did you like about it?
Well, I think one of my favorite parts about it was the staging and the fact that they made it a little bit interactive. I'm sure that some of the other people maybe didn't enjoy the having to move your chairs around to follow the action, but I thought that was really cool. I thought the space was really appropriate for it. I thought Boomy Peterson was...
She was magnificent.
Just magnificent. She was so good. And the music was really surprising, and I thought it was effective.
Dave, you and I kind of agreed a little more on that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I totally agree with your support and excitement about the staging. I thought it was great. I even called it thrilling in my review.
I called it scrappy and inventive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, see, I liked it more than you then.
Yeah, right. But
no, I love that kind of theater. I love the theater that is literally in your face mm-hmm. and really makes you part of the action. So I thought the staging was great. The basement space kind of stripped bare was really awesome. And that monumental card, which Mother Courage carries from one end of the space to the other, was also very impressive. Where it broke down was in the story, which was very... agitprop is the right word for it. It didn't seem like real people. Mother Courage has three children, and they seemed almost like props. Even though the performances were good, I didn't think the story did them any justice.
For those out there listening who don't know, Bertolt Brecht, who wrote this in the 40s, it was considered probably the greatest example of epic theater, which is not really supposed to be realistic. You're not really supposed to relate to these people in an emotional way, but it is very presentational, and it's making statements as opposed to warming you up. And I think that's kind of what you were seeing there. And I felt the same way. I've seen Brecht before, and I don't love it because it's that kind of show. And I think it takes a really strong production to make that kind of drama really effective.
And I do think that the actors and Kerry Wormald, the director, did a great job
Absolutely.
With the show.
Right.
And Savannah Hatcher, who plays a mute child, is amazing, very expressive. And, you know, just to circle back on Boomy Peterson, this is not a likable character. But she's a very compelling character, but you do not love her. I think that's a really bold choice.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned, Claire, that the music was wonderful. It was interesting, and it's kind of ironic that Savannah Hatcher, who plays a mute in the play, is actually the one who wrote and composed all the music. And it was interesting, too, because, you know, one time somebody was playing a piano over in the corner, and another time somebody was playing a violin.
She was the one playing all the instruments, Well, except for, I think, maybe there was one scene where there was music coming from behind a screen. That was not her.
And Kelsey Cordray did play guitar for her song. And speaking of them doing all kind of stuff, one of the things I kind of liked about it was that sometimes they held the lights, and the lighting was very kind of scrappy. I know when they got to the far end of the theater from the other, it was a little murky down there, but I was like, okay, they're kind of just being raw and simple with the lighting instead of trying to make it dramatic and keep it kind of raw.
I also thought sometimes, and I don't know how this would look where, you know, depending on where you were sitting, but where I was, a lot of the lighting sometimes would put a character in silhouette rather than letting me see their face. Which I think at first I was a little like, I want to see your face. But there was a dramatic effect to that.
A note of where I sat, which is in those stools in the back row.
Right.
So you didn't really have to get up and turn your chair. You could just swivel, which was a much better vantage point from having to do all that about face.
Right. One other thing I'd throw out is that Jared King, who plays the older son, Elif, does a rap version of one of Brecht's songs, which was I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, that was kind of Hamilton-esque. So basically, I think we kind of agree, except, Dave and I think kind of agree. It was kind of scrappy and dynamic and interesting, but it's more about appreciating the play than enjoying the experience. And
I would agree with that. I think that all of the scrappiness is really appropriate for Mother Courage.
Now, since Dave and I have seen Assassins, we're going to have a discussion about that, and Claire is going to sit quietly and admire us.
You don't have to be quiet, and you don't have to admire us.
Assassins is a musical by Stephen Sondheim that examines the history and motivations of 9 people who have attempted to or succeeded in assassinating a U.S. president. Dave, how did you feel about that show?
Assassins is, by its very nature, episodic. It takes kind of one assassin at a time, sometimes interposing different ones who weren't actually contemporaries. Yeah. Also, like Mother Courage, it's a show I really wanted to like more than I ended up liking.
Right.
The music was very good.
I don't think it was Sondheim's best.
No, I would agree with that. But also, you know, you had people like Matt Schaffner and David Janosik and Stacey Reardon Hall. I mean, these are some really great performers, and they did some really great work. I think the problem is it's a show that you don't come to the end of going, well, that was a great story.
Right, right.
You go,
right.
That was a bunch of really interesting history lessons.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a lot of that credit goes to, well, some of it goes to the script, but also Andrew Hamm, the director, he really couldn't smooth out the unevenness of the play and kind of make that work. There were some scenes, some of the big numbers that worked great, some of the numbers that didn't. Some of the solos were wonderful. I thought, you know, of course, as you mentioned, Matt Schaffner was probably the standout of the performances. Bianca Bryan and Lauren Ellens did a great job as the two women who were both trying to kill Ford. And Dante Pirro had a very sweet solo, or actually it was a very sweet duet that he did with Lauren.
Kenneth Putnam, who plays Samuel Bick, who tried to hijack a plane to run it into the Nixon White House, has a great little scene where he, I think, expresses a lot of the frustrations that people were expressing during the election cycle this year.
Well, actually had two wonderful monologues. You know, actually, I don't know if everyone knows this, but it's really a one-act play that runs about 80 to 90 minutes, and they decide to cut it in two, put in an intermission. I don't know if that was to sell drinks or whatever. It kind of, so the first act, as you recall, just kind of just ended.
Ends, yeah.
There was no finale. It just, the lights came up and we're like, wait, is this time to go?
Right.
And especially after seeing John, when we thought second act was over and something happened, we're a little sketchy now about, wait a minute, is it really intermission? But I thought that didn't really help the show. The set, I said it looked like an abandoned sideshow. It just didn't kind of look finished. I know it was kind of maybe supposed to be kind of run down, but it just didn't seemed to be cohesive or artistic in any way to me.
Yeah, I think unfinished is a great word for it. It didn't really have anything distinct about it. Unfortunately, the show ends focusing on Lee Harvey Oswald.
Long scene, too.
Well, and also tries to make some kind of through line with the rest of the show.
Right, right.
And again, this is, I think, more of a script thing than production, but it really ends up feeling more forced at the end than it needed to.
Right, right. And, you know, maybe one week on Curtain Call, we'll have a discussion about directors cutting dialogue, because I know that some people consider it verboten. You absolutely do not touch the text. And others say, sure, cut stuff all the time. So maybe we'll have a discussion on that sometime. Overall, I would think there were some moments that worked well on the show. I thought some of the performances were strong, but it just was kind of overall uneven.
I would agree.
Claire Boswell, welcome to Curtain Call officially. You were actually here 2 weeks ago, and you're back again today. I know you've already been writing reviews for Style. Why don't you tell our listeners what your background is?
I am a writer and a teacher in the English department at Randolph-Macon, and I teach in focused inquiry and in the humanities departments at VCU as well. My background is as an actress and a writer, and I suppose occasionally a playwright as well. I usually write fiction.
You say a background as an actor. Does that mean you went to school as an actor?
I did, yeah. When I started my undergrad career, I was a theater major, but I switched to English and have maintained my interest in theater ever since then. And as such, I think that my viewpoint when I am critiquing is I'm always looking at a play probably as a text first, a production second.
So how did you get the job?
I got the job, well, because of my writing samples, which are impeccable.
Of course.
actually, I was very fortunate. I have a friend who happened to be at an event and heard that Style Weekly was in need of another theater reviewer, and he immediately thought about me and mentioned my name, and I sent my materials over, and here I am.
So what are you looking forward to about reviewing?
I think mostly what I'm looking forward to is going to see plays that I maybe otherwise wouldn't. I've already seen a couple that I wouldn't have seen otherwise, and I actually enjoyed them. My understanding of Richmond theater is certainly expanding as a result of this.
What is going to be the challenge in trying to sit down and write about a show that you've seen and you may even know somebody in it?
That's probably going to be the biggest challenge. I haven't gone to a play to review yet where I know any of the cast members or crew members, but I do have friends in the theater community, and I think that may be one of the biggest challenges. I just have not approached it yet.
All righty. We will look forward to reading more of your reviews in Style Weekly and seeing you back here on Curtain Call in the near future. Thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for Curtain Call this week. We want to thank Open Source RVA for airing us on WRAR. And, of course, we're on podcast at artsies.org. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly. We'll see you next time.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.